Yes, please.
Not send a connection request where I go, hey, Ben, it looks like we have 23 shared connections. And I'd love to connect with you and add you to my network. No. Why? Especially if you're talking to any kind of buyer or influencer. What it could say is, Ben, I just listened to your podcast where you interviewed John Livesay, and it was freaking awesome. I'd love to connect and follow your content. Would you ever say no to that?
Of course not.
No, right?
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here today with Bryn Tillman. Bryn, what's up? I'm excited to see you today.
Oh, my gosh, Ben, I'm so excited to be here. Looking forward to our conversation.
I'm excited because we're going to be talking about LinkedIn, one of my favorite things in the world. And Bryn Tillman is known as the LinkedIn Whisperer. Am I supposed to whisper that part?
It's somebody named me that a long time ago, and I'm like, it's stuck.
What's funny is a few weeks ago I had on John Livesay, who's known by the Sales Whisperer. You know John?
Yeah, I know John. He's done a masterclass for my members. He's fabulous.
Fantastic. So that's after this episode. Listen, we'll put that in the show notes. But Bryn today, she's the LinkedIn Whisperer, CEO of Social Sales Link. For over a decade, she has been teaching entrepreneurs, sales teams, and business leaders how to leverage LinkedIn for social selling. In addition, Bryn is the author of the LinkedIn Sales Playbook, a tactical guide to social selling, and co-host of the Making Sales Social broadcast. So I don't think I could have picked a better person to come here and talk about the wonderful LinkedIn, Bryn. I'm excited.
I am too.
So to get started, because you're kicking butt and taking names, and anyone can go to your LinkedIn and see she creates great content, great insight, but you weren't born with skills on LinkedIn. I mean, granted, LinkedIn hasn't even been around that long. Tell me a little bit about the story behind the story and how you got started on LinkedIn and started to learn this kind of stuff.
What a great question. Well, you know, I started my whole career in sales because I started as a waitress. And I recognized really early on that if I could upsell appetizers and desserts, I'd get a bigger tip. So it was always part of who I am. And after college, I started an inbound call center for Dun & Bradstreet and then got promoted a couple of times. And I really fell in love with sales. The only thing I didn't like was the cold calling. And believe me, I did my share of cold calling. For over a year, I was an outbound scheduler, like that typical BDR role.
Yes.
So I did my time and I ended up in the field where I recognized what I loved about sales was helping people, not the cold call prospect. I just love to leverage my relationships, and I was just a people person. And I recall sitting across from one client, staring at his overflowing Rolodex. So for the listeners, you either still have a Rolodex or your parents still have a Rolodex. Essentially, because it's amazing today how many people go, what's a Rolodex? But it's all, you know, a collection of all your business cards, of all the people you've ever met, right? So I'm staring at this Rolodex, thinking if I could get my hands on that for 20 minutes, I could identify who my client knew that I'd want to meet, run the names by him, and potentially get some introductions into some opportunities. But, you know, in 1992, it wasn't politically correct to say, hey, Mr. Client, can I thumb through your address book? And then I found LinkedIn decades later. Fell in love because it solved my biggest problem. You can search and filter your connections, identify who they know that you might want to meet, run the names by them, and either get introductions or one of the things that we teach is permission to name drop. So when I found this, I felt this obligation to tell the world. And then over time, you know, there are many other facets of LinkedIn that we leverage for business development and for networking. But that was the quintessential moment in the journey where I said, man, this is all I want to focus on.
I'm curious, and we'll get into all the new and sexy things about LinkedIn today, but what did LinkedIn look like back in the day? Because I know I just reset up my profile in 2020. My audience already knows this. I got furloughed from work, used LinkedIn to create outreach and build a podcast and build a business over LinkedIn. But from 2020, from 2009 to 2020, my LinkedIn lay dormant. Mm-hmm. So I don't know much about the in-between. And LinkedIn started well before 2009 as well. What did it look like back in the day, and what's changed over time?
So completely different. My first book, I don't think there's more than two pages that are relevant in my first book. There were a lot of third-party apps that plugged into LinkedIn, to the profile, like WordPress, you know, and just all kinds of, like, they didn't have much. So they were connecting to JD Supra and all these other third parties. The profile was completely different, and it was very resume driven. Not that it's not resume driven now, but there's so much more you can do inside of the profile than you could before. The search filters have gone so much better. Now, there are some things that moved from the free LinkedIn to Sales Navigator. So in some ways, the free LinkedIn is not as strong as it was. And then in other ways, there's so many more features and functions, things that now that have rolled out. They had polls, they retired polls, they brought polls back. There's the opportunity to blog inside of LinkedIn that used to be called LinkedIn Pulse. And now it's all integrated internally. So it just really has really developed into what I think is the most important professional site anyone can ever have.
I agree. And I'm already starting to realize this could be overwhelming. It's like a 10-part series. That's why I recommend people connect with Bryn, because there's so much to learn here. But because it can be overwhelming, there's a lot of information. Give us a little more confidence that LinkedIn is something we should be focusing on. Like, what are the results that I can find from working on my LinkedIn?
So, you know, I'll start with, there are really five things we have to focus on LinkedIn. Mm. The first one we just talked about was profile. And our profile has to be value-centric, has to be resource-driven. If you're in a sales position, in today's world, the biggest mistake that salespeople are making are the connect and pitch. Everyone that's listening, raise your hand. No, we can't see you, but raise your hand if you've been a victim of connect and pitch, right? I would argue every single person on LinkedIn has been. So we have to make sure we're not the victimizer, right? So it's really important that even from our profile, we're not pitching too soon, that we're bringing value and we're getting them curious, learning new things, and you know that, and raising their hand and saying, you know what, this is interesting. I'd love to learn more. I got so much value from this profile. I can't wait to have a conversation with them. And that has been said to me and to many of my clients. Number two, social listening. This is the number one area that most people miss. If you are calling on an account, go through the company page, buy your map out, look at all your influencers, look at how you are socially connected through, we call it social proximity, right? Do you have any first connections at that company? Which, by the way, you may think you don't, but someone that you connected with 5 years ago may be at this company now. So you've got to take inventory, right? You've got to go through. And social listening is all the things that you can leverage to start a conversation. So what content is out there? What press releases are out there? And because I teach LinkedIn, I talk about the LinkedIn company pages being gold, but Google, press releases on their website. Look at the profiles of all the people that you want to connect with. Look at their tenure at the company, because the longer the tenure, the stronger influence they'll have. And the shorter the tenure, the more likely they are to take your call. So there are a lot of different avenues around that social listening that can help you prospect better. Number three, thought leadership. This is a combination of curating content, creating content, and engaging on content. With those three pieces in place, you are able to play the long game. The long game on LinkedIn is the nurture, right? You stay in front of your audience, and then when the time is right, they reach out. And that happens all the time. The next piece is, I would say the take inventory piece, or the This is the nurture piece. We've got the content in place to start conversations with existing connections. LinkedIn tells us that there's a 20% turnover year over year. That means one out of five people this year are changing jobs.
Interesting.
So if you haven't updated your list, your LinkedIn list, you're missing many opportunities. So export your connections or search your connections with all the right filters to take a look at who are you connected to that you're ignoring. And typically we recommend clients, prospects, and referral partners, and use content in many cases to ignite that conversation. And number five is warm market. So we talked about our social proximity, our buyer mapping in the listening phase, but we need to use this in the prospecting phase. Who in our network is connected to our buyers and influencers? And can we get warm introductions or at least permission to name drop to start conversations at a higher level of credibility than any cold calling will ever do? So those are the five. So just it's profile, listening, content and thought leadership, nurturing existing connections, and warm market prospecting.
Powerful. And where do I learn more about this? Because there's so much to dive into each of these categories here.
Well, so we have a podcast, which is socialsaleslink.com/podcast. It's Making Sales Social. And we have a free resource with tons and tons of information at linkedinlibrary.com.
I'll make sure those are in the description in the show notes. Thanks. So can we walk through the five, and I'll just pretend that I'm the person, and I was a dummy when I got started in 2020. We'll just walk through this and kind of look like what this might look like going through this process of five. So I'm starting my profile, and what headshot, cover art, what do I post? I love cats. I love my dog. Do I post a picture of my dog?
No. And, you know, an influencer can be a little more kitschy than someone in a business development role where you're going after the unknown, right? So although I do believe people connect with people, They don't until they know that person will be of value to them in sure. today's world, right? So we have to earn the right to get the conversation. We have to earn the right for them to care about our dog, right? So if we start with that, we're going to lose a lot of people. So cover art, that background banner, I look at this as your billboard, right? Not a ton of words, a lot of brand recognition. And think, if I were driving by, can I read the whole thing?
Yeah.
Right. And if you've got, you know, a good logo and maybe a one liner, right? So that I absolutely get my message across. But it's a billboard. So you have an event coming up, switch it out. You know, if you have a particular podcast or a particular something you want to draw people, switch it out. We switch ours out all the time. Headshot, make eye contact. I feel bad a little bit because you're like speaking on yours and you're off to the side a little bit,
yes.
but this is a networking meeting. And I really think that eye contact is important, that they feel like you are connecting with them. Your headline, the headline, right? So you need to create that curiosity, which you do great. I Ask Questions for a Living is so fun. But then we might want to talk about who we help, right? So for you, helping business owners and entrepreneurs do X.
Mm-hmm.
So then I know immediately you work with me. And then what's the value that you bring? Right. And you have a lot of calls to action, right? Like read my reviews. Let's chat. I would say bring it down to one because they get. And then you also use. So this is the next thing below, which is, and this is relatively new feature. Ding, ding, ding. You're doing great. Is you have a call to action link where you can link. So you have scheduled a chat with me, which is the best. Right. So. Because what do we want? We want conversations. We want to make it easy for them to get there. So that top of the fold really needs to create curiosity, resonate with your buyer, let them know the value you can bring to them. So rather than telling them, you have, which I think you have top 3% worldwide is something to definitely be proud of, but is that going to get them to want a conversation with you? So you want to ask that question, right? Will they want that conversation? And I will say yours is in the 99 percentile of great profiles, but these are just sort of like the little points that can really have an impact on a reader. So when I get here, I read that headline. The goal of that headline is to get me to want to keep reading. Now you're in creator mode, which I am too, which changes the mode or the position of all of the sections in your profile. Here's a change. When we started, what's one change? You used to be able to move all your sections of your profile around to have it any way you want.
Any location you want.
And you can't anymore.
Oh, I wish.
I know.
Recommendations to the top as far as I
can. Right. Well, I would say recommendations would be second or third.
Okay.
First would be featured, and you've done a great job of your featured. We want to teach them something new. If they don't learn from us, they don't believe they should buy from us, right? If there's nothing new, why would they have it? Well, forget buy from us. Why would they want a conversation? We have to create aha moments. If we don't create an aha moment, we haven't earned the right to get the conversation. So that's a really important piece of this. So your content is all about education. Now, the key is that whatever bits of learning that they absorb needs to get them thinking differently about their current solution. Because if they go, oh, that's really cool, but I don't see that working in my business, we lost the opportunity. But if the content is, that's really cool, I wonder how that would work in my business, we'll get you the conversation, right? So that featured section is a big deal. The next primary section is, well, you'll see on your own profile and when people visit your profile, all the activity.
And Bryn, by the time I post this, I'll probably fix my profile to be even better. But yours is also in the description because I want people to go to yours as an exemplar of what the Whisper herself does for herself. So I want people to encourage that as well. Go on.
Well, thank you. So the About section, I believe, should be about them. This is your best opportunity to talk about their challenges, what they're going through. So I'm just going to ask you, Ben, what are your prospects challenged with?
So it depends on the category I'm doing business in. But for the most part, getting found online and building a reputation, whether it's for their personal brand or their business, and really just standing out in the sea of sameness, where they actually stand out as a leader in their field, because they might have a similar product to the person down the road, but they're uniquely them. We want their business and brand to stand out as uniquely them.
Okay, love that. Love that. So the challenge that you start with in your About section is that maybe it's an influencer if it's their professional. Influencers and businesses are getting lost in the internet noise. They're all showing up as the same, losing any kind of competitive edge they ever had before. But it doesn't have to be that way. Here are five things that businesses need to do to stand out from the rest and teach them. Don't say we do this yet, mm-hmm. but they're all the things that you do. But it's out of education. So tell me one thing. What's one thing they need to do to stand out?
Well, they need to build a presence online. Some people don't even have a Google My Business or a LinkedIn or a Facebook, et cetera, set up. So really just getting started with that business card or billboard online.
Okay. So, and maybe have, you know, make sure that you have a profile everywhere that your prospects may be finding you, and have a consistent message across the board. Mm-hmm. Right? Number two, give me one more. And just for the point, what's something else they need to be doing?
Establishing themselves as a differentiator in their industry rather than just the same cookie cutter business person down the road.
Okay. Give me a deeper tip on how to establish themselves.
Incorporate personalized values in the content you create.
Fabulous. I like that better, that because it feels different.
Yeah.
Right. So practicing what you teach. Right. So that makes it go. So I love that. Right. So we have five of those. So here are the five things you need to do to have a digital presence that drives business. Right. Then you have, if you are not getting the business, the inbound business from digital, or as much as you like, and who is, no one, right? Maybe Amazon, who knows? But if you're not, right, if you're not getting, let's chat. Whether or not we decide to work together, I'm happy to share insights on what you could do right now to increase your online reputation, presence, mm-hmm. being found, right? And that, now they have your email, your phone number, and a calendar link. I use Calendly. And all of a sudden they go, oh, I want to learn that. And we've opted. So that About section is 100% about bringing them value.
Right.
And they go, God, I learned so much from Ben, right from his profile. I am confident that investing 15 minutes to talk to him is a good use of my time. That's how you earn the right to get that conversation. So that's only number one.
Ooh. What about the people that are thinking, well, I don't want to be salesy in my profile. I don't want to sound like a copyright, copywriting kind of like a sales funnel, click the link kind of like, I feel too salesy doing that. What would you say to someone who's thinking that?
Well, you shouldn't sound salesy. We actually, one of our taglines is leveraging LinkedIn for sales without being salesy. You need to look at this as a resource. You are a resource. You are bringing value. Don't sell anything except value. You need a conversation first. It's not a click to buy. Mm-hmm. So I actually want you to think about, we've got to slow down our outcome to speed up our, slow down our outreach to speed up our outcome, right? Because we need to treat these folks as human beings, not as leads. And we want to make sure that we've earned the right to get the conversation.
So content, and this is going to kind of be a two-part question, because a lot of people feel like just post content, but they're not having conversations or engaging in the comments section or engaging on other people's content. So mm-hmm. I believe that even if I'm not posting content, I try to get on LinkedIn and engage in other people's content. Tell me a little bit about your content philosophy. How much should I be posting? How much should I be engaging? What is the purpose of doing all this? You tell me.
Yeah. So first, quality over quantity. You'll lose people. If you put out terrible content, even every once in a while, you're just going to lose people. The next thing on LinkedIn, and I don't believe this across the board everywhere, 90% of what you share needs to lead back to your solution in one way or another. Mm. We don't want to muddy the waters. Years ago, 10 years ago, I was working with a client whose marketing company had her sharing famous quotes on LinkedIn to get engagement. But she sold telephone systems to big companies. And you go, well, like, it just doesn't make sense. But what if you shared tips and strategies for better telephone quality, for not dropping client calls, for, right? Even if it's not original content and you're curating it, 90% of what you share should lead back. Now, do I think there's a place for personal content? I'm going to say ish. People want to get to know you, but don't share anything that you wouldn't share at a Chamber of Commerce event. Like, don't get any more personal than, you know, anything you would share in a group of a million professionals, right? You would not share anxiety and depression. That's going to push prospects away. Do I think there's a place for that? 100% on Facebook. That's where that, you know, there is an opportunity there. But on LinkedIn, you want to keep the conversation as professional as possible and look at it. Don't share for the likes and comments in droves. Share for the likes and comments from the people that care about that topic, because those are much more likely your buyers. So my good friend Mark Hunter says likes and comments don't pay the bills. So, which I think is fun. However, when you have the right content, I'm going to tell you in a minute how to convert those likes and comments to conversations. So curating content, very important. Creating content. Most entrepreneurs and sales professionals don't have the time to create their own content. But I'm going to say there are a few things I recommend they do. Number one, polls are amazing. Put out a poll once a month or twice a month that you can then send to your prospects and ask them to vote. LinkedIn does something brilliant with polls, and that you can't see the votes until you vote. So it creates a FOMO, a fear of missing out. So, and the algorithm treats a vote higher than any other, higher than a comment, higher than anything else. It treats a vote very high in the algorithm. So the more votes you get, the more votes you get. And, you know, in the last year, polls have done exceptionally well. Number two, if you're an entrepreneur or in sales, you're a talker. Get on LinkedIn Live. Mm. Share, you know, interview people, share some insights. People want to get to know you. Be the advisor and the thought leader in your industry. And if it turns out that, like, one of the things that we do, I mean, I can talk all day about LinkedIn, but I interview people, like here, for podcasts, for masterclasses. Right? Why? Because they don't want to hear me all the time.
Right.
But when I bring in other people, I can throw in my two cents and get some clever things in, and people see me as a thought leader in my area. But it's also bringing other value and insight. So I think LinkedIn Live is absolutely magic. And the other thing is pretty new is in LinkedIn audio rooms, which I don't know if you're familiar with Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces. So LinkedIn is rolling out. I think Clubhouse still does it best, but LinkedIn is rolling out audio, and that's a great place to start conversations. The challenge with LinkedIn over Clubhouse audio, you can find rooms and topics. It's really hard right now. There's no directory of ongoing events that you can jump into. But stay tuned, because I think they will be great. Or they'll die, one of the two.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, because what I've seen is LinkedIn's very, very adamant about listening to their users and creating features for their users. Because like I know they at one point had stories, they got rid of those.
I know, I'm so sad.
But I think a lot of people didn't and polls used to be like 5x everything else. I think engagement has calmed down because people are seeing too much polls. So now they've got the audio, seeing if people like that. But my only point is, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like LinkedIn's always listening to their users and creating features just for them. And I guess a question on that, go on.
Well, first, they're late adopters, right? They let Facebook and Twitter and Instagram figure it out, and then they try it and they do it wrong. I'm not sure that stories was bad. I think the algorithm of stories was bad. Mm-hmm. I think if they fixed the algorithm of stories, it would have been really, really good, in my opinion. The other thing, which, and I've never used Instagram outside of a phone, outside of mobile. So I don't even know what their desktop looks like, and I think they have one, but I'm not even sure. LinkedIn, everything has all these mobile features. I actually think it's different in the professional world where, 45% of users are on the desktop, yet you can't upload the video, the cover story behind your face. You can't record your name pronunciation. You have to be on mobile. And I think LinkedIn, in order for them to be competitive, is they have to allow more of these things to be done on desktop.
I love that. Anything, we aren't going to be able to get through every detail of all the steps because inside information, guys, my internet exploded mid-conversation, but we're going to wring out every inch, every little piece of value we can. I might even skip the rapid fire round because I want to get as much info in as possible.
I want to finish the content side.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. You've got these likes and comments. The first mistake that people make, the first thing they do right is they comment on the commenters. Very few take inventory of the reactions. Who liked it? Who celebrated it? Who loved it? And then they go, now what do I do with this? So if it's your own content, have a backup piece. I'm so glad you connect with them. I'm so glad you enjoyed this. I have another piece of content on the same topic. If you're interested, let me know. We can connect and I can send it to you, right? They're already interested. If you're already connected, you can send them a message. Here's a really fun trick on content. Magic, magic, magic. Find the followers, find the influencer that attracts your followers. So it might be a Tony Robbins for me. It might be, there are a lot of influencers out there that are attracting coaches and entrepreneurs and salespeople and business owners. So I'm going to go find them. So think in your head, listeners. Think in your head, who's attracting your buyers? Now go engage with the author and the people that are commenting. But then they go, now what? Okay. Go find something else, a podcast, a YouTube video, something else that author has. And reach out. And I go, Ben, I see you really enjoyed Brené Brown's post on X, Y, and Z. I'd love to connect and share with you a podcast she was on a couple weeks ago on this topic. Let me know if you're interested. Now you connect. Thanks, Ben. I love this podcast with Brené Brown. Send. P.S. Who else do you follow? What other topics are you interested in? Now I start a conversation. And at one point, back and forth, I might say, hey, curious. Are you exploring any ways to use LinkedIn for social selling? I've got lots of free resources. Let me know. I'd be happy to send them over. And then I get quiet. Ask permission. Don't just send your stuff. Mm-hmm. Ask permission. And I'll tell you, the numbers are incredible when you've slowed it down and you've started this conversation around a mutual interest in an influencer. How, you know, it's not salesy, but this is where you have to slow down the outreach to speed up the outcome. Treat the person on the other side of the message the same way you would if they were on the other side of the table. Slow that conversation down. Don't speed it up any faster than if you were standing next to them. And that conversation will lead to them looking at your profile. And then if there's a need, they'll reach out. And then they're looking at your content. One last tip before yes. Every first degree connection, you will see a bell on their LinkedIn. If you click that bell, whenever they share content, it's going to go into your notifications, not just your newsfeed. Number one, if they are a second connection or beyond, if you follow them, so you click the more button and click follow, the bell will appear. They will be notified that you follow them, but that's okay because we want to be on their radar.
Yes.
Click that bell, and now your notification is this custom feed of your prospect's content that gives you the opportunity to engage with them.
This is so fantastic. And one thing that's really lighting me up is maybe we aren't a good fit to do business together, but I just did a ton of original research by connecting with someone who's in the target person that I want to do business with. So it doesn't have to be treated transactionally. It can be treated relationshiply, yes. Like they're across the table. And if they're not a good fit, they can still be my cheerleader and partner in helping reach the people that are a good fit for the service I offer.
So I will tell you, I was connected for years with a gentleman who was the CMO of VanillaSoft. And Daryl left and he went to, and we prospected him and I was in front of him and I was on his podcast and he was on my podcast and it just never turned. And I had proposals out and it never closed. He took a new job at AgoraPulse and I was the first vendor that they hired. So it's also about having patience. When the time is right, the opportunity will come.
It will. Bryn, first off, you're incredible. I want to publicly apologize to the listeners for not having more time with you. But to my understanding, you have a whole vault of resources specifically on the conversation we had today. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So LinkedInLibrary.com or SocialSalesLink.com/library has a whole vault of resources with downloads and ebooks and videos and podcast, and we'll link this podcast in there too. So, you know, and it's just lots of value for free because I want to earn the right for you to want to talk to me.
Let's close out with a good connection message, because if someone connects with you, I want them to do it tactically with grace, the way they are meant to, supposed to. What does a good connection request look like?
So I'm going to say what it shouldn't look like first.
Yes, please.
Not send a connection request where I go, hey, Ben, it looks like we have 23 shared connections, and I'd love to connect with you and add you to my network. No. Why? Especially if you're talking to any kind of buyer or influencer. What it could say is, Ben, I just listened to your podcast where you interviewed John Livesay, and it was freaking awesome. I'd love to connect and follow your content. Would you ever say no to that?
Of course not.
No, right? Now, the other thing I can do, and we actually have, we have a ridiculous, like 143 connections or something like that, but I can go through there and I say, you're connected to, the first three are people I know really, really well. So I drop Richard von der Blum a little message and say, hey, Richard, I'm really looking to connect with Ben Albert. I'm wondering, how well do you know him? Oh, he's a great guy. Hey, when I reach out to him, should I tell him you said hello? Yeah, sure. Ben, Richard Vonderblom and I were chatting on LinkedIn. Your name came up in our conversation. He says, hello. Are you going to accept that conversation?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
So this is what I mean by slowing down the outreach to speed up the outcome, right? Because you are going to accept that because Richard says, hello. And I could go, I mean, straight down, John Barros, Judy Fox, Dale Dupree, Hannah Morgan, Joshua B. Lee, all of these people I could reach out to and say, we have so many shared connections. So instead of saying we have 143 shared connections, how about one of our connections says hello?
Right. I love this. Is that the permission to name drop?
That's part of it. Yes. That's one of many places, but it's totally legitimate. When I reach out to him, should I say you said hello? They always say yes. And if they say no, I'm not going to drop their name because there's something wrong.
Or maybe they don't know the person, but you can just ask a few people. Because I don't know everybody you just name-dropped. I think they connect with me randomly. Sometimes I feel like I'm on LinkedIn collecting business cards, but I need to be better about knowing everybody I'm connected with.
So we really talk about taking inventory. That's a big one, right? That's in that nurturing place. You've really got to export your connections. And you have like almost 4,000 plus. I can't remember the number. It's a lot, right? But if you say, I'm going to look at 10 a day and I'm going to identify who it is that I want to re-engage. And then, by the way, pick up your mobile and send them a video message to re-engage. Because you get about a 90% response rate when you send a video message. So I'm Richard Vonderblom, yes?
Yes.
Okay, right? So you pick up that video and say, Richard, I can't wait for your 2022 LinkedIn algorithm report. I'm so excited. I hope you're doing well. If you want to catch up, let me know, right? And you just go through all these folks. Now you go, so let's go John Barros. Do you know John Barros? Okay, let's find Dale Dupree.
Okay, we could do Richard. We could do Hannah Morgan because I know Hannah Morgan well.
So I want to do the people you don't know.
Oh, got it.
Here's a new one. So I go to...
Oh, Dale Dupree. I don't even know who that is.
So Dale Dupree. I know him from Clubhouse, actually.
Okay.
So you look at Dale Dupree and go, I don't know how I know him, but he's the exact person I want to connect with. So here's the trick. Ready? You click on contact information and you scroll down and I look and it says, I connected with Dale Dupree, May 16th, 2021. Mm. Okay. So I now send Dale a message. Hey Dale, I'm not sure if you recalled, but we connected on LinkedIn back in, I don't even remember the date, May of 2021. We have not had the opportunity to chat, but I really enjoyed your content. Ready for this real little trick? Oh, I have so many. Go to listennotes.com. It's every podcast in the world. Stick his name in, listen to a podcast if he was a guest on one, and use that in your connection request, right? Most everyone has something out there that you can leverage. But, I'm not sure if you recall, we connected back in May of 2021. I just listened to this podcast where you were a guest. Here was one of my takeaways. I'd love to connect and continue to follow your content. Who's saying no to that?
So speaking my language. I'll tell you, a quick ad lib. Anytime I listen to a podcast and I gain value, I connect with the host and the guest. Every single time, because I've already put in the legwork of listening to the podcast, I'd be doing everyone a disservice if I didn't just say hello. It takes me 45 seconds to leave a review, and then I can plant all these seeds of goodwill before I even ask for anything, really. And again, if I'm listening to the podcast, why not connect with the host?
Why not share it? Just in a post, just listen to, mention the podcast. With these two people, here's my number one takeaway. In comments, share your favorite podcast. Now you're going to get an enormous amount. They're going to love you. They like and comment. You're going to start to get their audience. Oh, magic.
Magic. Thanks for staying late. I know you're about to run into like a actual training session.
Yeah.
Tell us one more time, where can I get this vault? I mean, obviously people need to go and connect with you on LinkedIn to get the weekly content, but where's this vault where I can, you know, at my will go in? What was the link again?
So it's socialsaleslink.com/library or linkedinlibrary.com, which redirects. But yeah, and it's just lots of great information and lots of events. We have free coaching events. We've got pop-up master classes, lots of things, all for free.
Fantastic. And if the listener asks, will you come back?
If they ask, I will say yes. Yeah, would love to come back. Thank you.
And I appreciate you taking the time. It's been a lot of fun, Bryn.
Thanks, Ben. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.